Oh.
I figured it's the start of a new chapter. I should open up.
Go for it. I usually open it up because everyone else just waits.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know. I need to step up to the plate. So once more, hello and welcome to is this season two?
No, it's not.
This is like, you know, like Attack on Titan, how they have like season three, part one A, and then part two B, mm-hmm. and then part two. This is like part two.
Yeah. Episode 32 okay. was like our mid-season finale.
Yeah.
And so now we're picking up where we left off.
This could be act two, chapter two.
Yeah.
I like act two.
Act two, chapter two.
Yeah, Keto Clash act two. That's good.
Yeah, this is Act 2, Chapter 1. Act 2, Scene 1.
And we're using the Shakespearean style, so expect five acts.
Yeah, and this will all be in the title, so you all already knew this. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, all this information will be there.
Yeah, we call each episode a scene. So it's Act 1, Scene 1, 2. So 32 scenes in this one act, and now we're in Act 2.
But what are we doing here, Kyle?
I guess the bigger descriptor here is this is the first episode of the round of 32. It's been a little rocky for the past couple months since we kind of got to the end, but we're back on the horse, and yeah, we're starting the next round of movies, which means we've seen all the movies now. And the form going forward is going to be a little different than last time. We're not going to be discussing one movie at a time anymore, and the shift is going to be a lot more focused on argument and comparison than it is description and kind of highlighting elements of the movies.
Yeah, I think
see how
we're
it
actually...
goes.
We're setting up like a Lincoln Douglas debate, right?
We are. Everybody has to pick a side. I wanted policy, but no. So yeah, it's probably this will be a bit of a rocky one. We're probably going to get another Green Mile, and then you know we'll get a little better, and then by the fourth in, we'll be fine.
Do they know?
But that
the Green Mile,
said, yeah.
Have we talked about the Green Mile Part One?
Oh, we've talked about the hit, the lost file Green Mile for a while now. But yeah, so. That being said, our first ever round of 32 matchup is Ryan or Brendan. No, Ron. Wait.
Well, either way.
Oh, correct. Wait.
Yeah, it's.
No, I was gonna do the seeds. I was gonna do this. I forgot. These are both like lower seeds.
Yeah, this is Brendan's 13 seed. Better Luck Tomorrow versus my number 12 seed, Doctor Strangelove.
Was this your 13 seed, Brendan?
Yeah. Kyle has left his desk. He's left the room in disbelief. He doesn't believe us.
I can confirm it's Brendan's 13 seat.
Yeah.
Because I had the lower seat, I'll start off with just a brief refresher on Better Luck Tomorrow. It is a movie directed by Justin Lin about four high school kids who end up getting involved in a cheating ring that becomes a drug trade ring and eventually becomes a murder ring of one person. Does anyone think that there should be more said as a refresher for it?
Nah, this can
I
be.
Think that's crime drama.
Yeah. And then, yeah, before we get into opening thoughts, Dr. Strangelove is a wartime, or rather not wartime, satire, kind of about the uncertainty and absurdity of the relationship between the United States and Russia following World War II. It's a comedy about nukes and the kind of danger therein. So, yeah, an older film. So... Yeah. we've kind of decided how we want to do this is to discuss how we voted for these films when we first discussed them, and then kind of how they've aged and what we thought on this next rewatch. So I guess, Brendan, if you want to start out,
I'll kick us off.
So format.
I voted for both of these movies over their competitors. One was my own movie, so of course I voted for it. Better Luck Tomorrow. I voted for that one over Lost City of Z because it had everything that I wanted that Lost City of Z didn't have, which was, in my opinion, better performances overall by the cast and a quicker, more... I don't know, more effective runtime for what it was trying to do. And then I voted for Dr. Strangelove over Eye in the Sky because while they were both kind of like criticizing the government's like response within a specific like time period and type of war, Dr. Strangelove was just funnier and I feel like more scathing and biting of a critique than Eye in the Sky was. And also had, like,
I do like
way...
I do like saying Strange Love is funnier than Eye in the Sky. Like,
it's funnier than Schindler's List.
I'll be honest, Talladega Nights is funnier than Interstellar, not by much, but it is. So I mean,
not to reopen the can of worms that is Eye in the Sky, but I thought it was real funny when the guy goes, "Hold on, let me get out my little robot bug that I control with my PSP Go." I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. All right. So now are we doing like kind of rewatch or anything new?
Well, I figured we'd all talk about our vote and then we'd get into
it. Yeah, probably I'll talk about the votes first.
That works. So I did not vote for Better Luck Tomorrow over The Lost City of Z. I thought The Lost City of Z was a lot more interesting and fun. And I disagree. I think it was a lot better acted and made than Better Luck Tomorrow. The reason I didn't really connect with Better Luck Tomorrow is I found the casting and the writing pretty distracting given the context of the characters. And that was my main gripe. It didn't do anything to really wow me, whereas The Lost City of Z had quite a few elements that really stuck with me. Dr. Strangelove I did vote for over Eye in the Sky. Eye in the Sky, another one just really didn't connect with me. It felt a little manipulative, and Dr. Strangelove kind of, I don't know, the jokes kind of carried me along in a way that it didn't feel like it was forcing anything down my throat, even though, like you said, Brendan, it is very scathing and obvious, kind of the stance of the writer of this film on this situation. So, I definitely enjoyed both of these on rewatch, but that said, yeah, I didn't vote for Better Luck Tomorrow the first time.
Boo.
I was the exact same boat as Ryan as far as voting is concerned. I voted for Lost City of Zed over Better Luck Tomorrow. Although I loved Better Luck Tomorrow on my first watch. Pardon. It was a hard one. I remember it was really difficult for me to pick between the two, and probably recency bias had a little bit to do with it since we watched Lost City of Z second. I was happy either way. And then I voted for Strangelove over Eye in the Sky. Again, I love both of those movies. I'd seen Eye in the Sky before. Strangelove, it was my first time. It's Strangelove's just so much better of a movie. I think Eye in the Sky does a lot of really cool things, but yeah, that's why I voted for Strangelove. So both of these movies we're watching now were very first time watches for me when I voted for them, really, really enjoyed them.
I will say before you go, Alex, this was looking at the matchup here, I was like, this is two heavy hitters right up against each other for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of the group favorites, I would say.
What are these two movies? Okay. So with Better Luck Tomorrow and Lost City of Z.
Well, what the fuck even are these?
I've been on the record already to talk about my saltiness and anger at myself. They're two both excellent movies, but I did end up voting for Better Luck Tomorrow, and I was split exactly 50-50 to beat both of these. It really was just up to whatever the temperature was that day to sway me to one side or the other. In retrospect, I think the temperature's been feeling quite Lost City of Z-ish and not so much Better Luck Tomorrow-ish, but whatever. I made my bed, gotta sleep in it. But, I mean, yeah. No, they're both great movies. I think they're both super well-acted, both interesting in their own rights. I think they took their respective genres in interesting directions. And overall, just great movies. What are you chuckling at over there, Brendan?
Oh, Kyle walking around his room like he's Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now, just like inhabiting the space.
I'm just a little sore, so I'm stretching out a little bit until it's my time to talk.
And then as for, Doctor Strangelove and Eye in the Sky. Eye in the Sky was my pick, but after watching the two of them, Doctor Strangelove was the obvious pick there. I think after further rewatches, Eye in the Sky has kind of dropped a bit for me, but Doctor Strangelove made such a strong first impression on me. It was quite impressive.
Did you not vote for Eye in the Sky?
I don't quite remember. I think I voted for Strangelove.
I was going to say, we should have written down who voted for what.
At any rate,
he feels so whatever. Strongly we about will. Strangelove that he's changing his vote if he did vote for
exactly. This is retconning. But yeah, they're both great movies, but Doctor Strangelove in retrospect, I mean, that's just such a powerful movie as just one cohesive package.
All right.
What?
No, not yet. I'll save that for later.
I was going to say, all right. All right.
This package was just cohesive.
All right. Well, I guess with that out of the way, now we're into the comparative portion of this.
Well, yeah, let's start off with how we felt in our rewatches. Personally, I really, you know, these are two movies that I voted and am on the record at saying I like. So this was a bit of a treat. I watched two movies I really liked again. I don't think that I got less out of either of them. I think I might have gotten more out of Strangelove watching it again so soon. Like, you know, where I was able to remember the things that I had thought the time we had watched it before going into this rewatch versus Better Luck Tomorrow, which very much is like a movie that I get something out of every time I watch it, but there is only 90 minutes of film there, and the capacity to have new sides to it is, I think, just obviously reduced. But I really liked Better Luck Tomorrow as well. I always just really enjoy the build up in that first section and then everything falling apart in the last. But nothing too new in terms of my thoughts about it this time around. Strangelove, some new things that we'll probably bring up when we're talking about specific qualities of the film comparatively.
No. And for me, yeah, going into this, I was really looking forward to the Better Luck Tomorrow rewatch because that's one that, after the recording, I think I was definitely the most sour on it, but it aged well in my mind. And then Strangelove, I wasn't really looking forward to rewatching because we just did it so recently. But happily with that one, I probably liked it even more than the last time we watched it. I don't think it's one that I could ever watch and dislike, so... I'm happy about that. Definitely picked up on more details. Definitely enjoyed the fluids talk a lot more this time, and just how often they bring up the discussion of fluids in that movie. And then Better Luck Tomorrow. Unfortunately, even though I was looking forward to watching it and it aged well in my head, it kind of just sucked me right back down. My opinion really hasn't changed. I just am not that captivated by it. I don't like the characters all that much, and I definitely didn't get anything new out of it, so yeah, I was a little disappointed there, truth be told.
Not enough fluids.
The parts that I did like about Better Luck Tomorrow across both watches still hit the same, though, so I will give it that.
I guess that'll be me. Let me raise my microphone here. So yeah, this was interesting because again, I similar to Brendan, really liked both of these movies, but I also wasn't looking super forward to watching Better Luck Tomorrow again. And I will say, while I don't think that impacted my viewing, I watched Better Luck Tomorrow in a completely different light this time around. Like, I guess knowing the whole picture ahead of time, which, you know, respect where credit is due. I mean, I saw all the characters in their true light the entire time this time, instead of, like, being charmed by some, and then being hit like a truck. So that was really impressive, and I still am genuinely floored by Lin's directing ability. I think that probably shined a lot more than last time. But as a whole, I don't think it connected with me as much this time. I think I found some of Ryan's critiques from our last go of it a little more prevalent this time. And, yeah, no, I still really enjoyed it, but it dropped down about a half star for me, just from the sheer enjoyment to this is a good movie. Whereas Strangelove, kind of the reverse, I got a lot more out of it this time, and everything I got out of it, I liked a lot more. I can't really point to what, just I think understanding what you're getting into and like anticipating the jokes and quotes, like it's a very fun time to watch once you've seen it, because you're like, I know what's coming up, I'm excited. yeah, so it probably bumped up a half star for me this time around.
Very interesting. I think I took the exact opposite take. With Dr. Strangelove on the rewatch, it got bumped down a half star in my head. For the exact reason you brought up of anticipating jokes. It was just so funny the first time, and we had talked about the jokes so much, and we were cracking up just talking about them here on this discussion, that going in, I was like, oh, I can't wait to experience those jokes again. Like, those hit so well the first time, and then I just knew every joke that was coming up, and I didn't chuckle once. I think it really is just because it was watched so much more recently. I think had it been like 6 months in between watches, I would have like had enough time to forget a lot of the stuff, a lot of the punchlines, but I didn't really laugh the second time. The only part that really made me laugh was kind of some of the stuff in the war room, but I didn't laugh as much as I did the first time, nor as hard. But everything else was still firing on all cylinders, and I loved everything else about it. So really, it didn't, in my mind, didn't get knocked down all that much. And with Better Luck Tomorrow, putting aside the salt that I have, it still held its own. I still really liked everything about it, and rewatching it, it was interesting to see everything from, like, I know the path these characters are going down by the end, so I'm interested to see kind of the progression towards there again. And I think I liked it just as much the first time. And yeah, the directing, I think that's the part that I got the most out of on the rewatch, the editing and the directing. I thought here I picked up on a lot more that I just thought was so clever, versus the first time I was more focused on picking up on so many other things that this time I kind of narrow in on certain things, and that stood out to me a lot. So I really enjoyed the rewatch of Better Luck Tomorrow.
All right. I'm glad to hear some positivity from somebody about Better Luck Tomorrow. Everybody else saying lost its luster. Not a fan of that.
Fair, I pretty much hold the same exact opinion.
No, I know.
I didn't really.
You really simply said there was never a luster. So
yeah.
So I figured we could start off by talking about performances and where the performances in each movie sort of line up against each other, which I think is really interesting, talking about Strangelove and Better Luck Tomorrow, because of the distance between them, like linearly in time, you know, what actors were doing and how performances were captured is very different. So we could start off by talking about the leads. In Strangelove, what we have, Peter Sellers and...
Yeah, I'd say he's the main lead, and he plays three characters. So probably him and George C. Scott. And then, yeah, I guess Ben in Better Luck Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what George Sellers and George C. Scott play?
Peter Sellers was Dr. Strangelove, the president, and... the
Mandrake.
One, yeah, Mandrake. The lieutenant.
Yeah, what? For Better Luck Tomorrow, we have Sung Kang, Jason Tobin, Perry Shin, and John Cho as our leads.
Yeah, John Cho.
Strangelove was really hard for me to like think like who the lead was.
Like, yeah, there's a lot going on. I would say like Mandrake and the president, I guess. Sure, that
yeah,
those are
that's
probably who we
spend
the most time with. But yeah, honestly, for me, if we're going direct comparison, there really is no comparison. I think the acting in Strangelove is a clinic, and then I don't get much from the actors in Better Luck Tomorrow. I don't think any of them really. I don't see those people and think, A, those are high schoolers, and B, those are people I would see in real life. Because yeah, just a lot of the delivery and everything, I'm like imagining if a high schooler said that, I would laugh at them in real life. Just how self-serious and everything. I didn't get much from the performances. Although in the lead roles, for sure, in Better Luck Tomorrow were stronger than like the love interest and everything. There's a lot that really just didn't connect with me there from the side characters. But the main cast, the main four doing the crimes, I thought were fine again. But yeah, Dr. Strangelove, it just blows me away. This is truly the Norbert of its time. Or Norbit, right?
The Norbert. Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
what is
sorry,
that?
The one with Eddie Murphy.
okay, so I like how you're saying that this is a movie with good performances, and your example of that is Norbit.
Yeah. I guess I knew that he played multiple characters, but actually piecing it together and like looking for the actor in those roles this time as opposed to just experiencing the characters is all the more impressive, because each of them have their own distinct personality, delivery, this kind of sense of humor even that's portrayed. Yeah, I just think the acting is really great and very physical from all the characters in that movie.
Oh, what's most impressive to me is I didn't know that George Sellers played those three parts. I thought those were three different actors. So
yeah,
that was completely invisible to me.
I knew he was the president in Dr. Strangelove. I guess I didn't realize till this time that he was also Mandrake as well.
Same. Yeah, no, I didn't realize till the credits rolled. I was like, I caught that he was the president this time. I knew he was Strangelove the first time. This time I was like, oh, he's the president too. And then, yeah, I saw that it was Mandrake. It's like, oh my God.
I mean, talk about chameleon act. Like, Mandrake... He might be my favorite character after this rewatch, because it's just kind of like, I don't know, his kind of disbelief at the situation and trying to do the right thing is just brought to life in a really interesting and funny way.
I would say that, like, for me, the performances in Strangelove are really good. I really like the performances in Better Luck Tomorrow from the lead cast, especially like John Cho towards the end. I really like his performance, and I really like...
I wouldn't say John Cho's a lead, though. I'd say he's supporting.
No, I would say if there's four leads. I mean, not four. If there's five leads, he's the other one. Because he's in it a lot.
Is he?
He is. He has, like, he's like five or six scenes where he's talking to somebody about something important.
Yeah, I know, but we're not the world's not being pushed through him whatsoever. He's
fair.
Auxiliary to the main four.
Listen, I googled main cast of Better Luck Tomorrow, and he was on it. So that's, him or Virgil. I also think gives like a really good performance, especially.
Oh, I loved Virgil.
Especially on a rewatch when you kind of know where it's leading and where he actually sits in terms of, like, his morality and where he falls on things. rewatching it and seeing him really as just a fucking edgy teen and not as like the actual gangster that he kind of wishes he was. I think is really strong. But I think that with Strangelove, because of the physicality of the performances, you know, you have like, what is his name? The general who's in the war room who has like the...
General Turgidson.
Yeah.
George C. Scott.
Him pointing at the, like banner and then falling over himself and then getting back up and then continuing to point. Stuff like that. And then also, yeah, Peter Sellers just killing it in every role, making them all feel unique and different and like nailing the accent every time. Yeah, that really just puts it above. Like, it can't compete with Peter Sellers, I don't think.
I'm in pretty much the same boat. I think I'm more endeared to the leads in Better Luck Tomorrow, but I'm going to attribute that to the writing, not the acting. And
I would say that's,
yeah, I mean,
that's
just
a very fair distinction.
And the, like you guys, the leads in... It's truly just, I think you said it's an acting clinic, Ryan, and if you're going to teach someone how to comedically act and what timing is, like, you show them fucking this. Like,
oh, especially of those conversations between Mandrake and, what is the other guy's name?
The General Jack D. Ripper.
Yeah.
Ripper, yeah.
Like, conversations.
Any time Peter Sellers is the president talking to Premier Dimitri is having a one-sided conversation.
Yeah, the disbelief.
How do you think I feel?
the disbelief him talking to George C. Scott's character, and he just keeps asking questions about how the situation was allowed to happen, and him being like, "Well." You see, we put this in place, and it's like basically three iterations of the same conversation of just how ridiculous this chain of command has become. And all the while, he's just stuffing gum down his mouth and offering it to other people. I don't know. That whole exchange is just
Mr. President, timing. I don't know if we can call the whole project a failure, but just because of one bad apple.
Yeah. What the other line that he says is like. Human fallacy has failed us this time, but
and
I would say that even extends to like the extras and like the little bit parts and both movies as well, where like the background characters, the extras in Better Luck Tomorrow are like, if they're there, they are practically invisible. Nothing stands out, nothing like to pick up on. I would say the only time that I really got a ton out of like the extras in Better Luck Tomorrow are the Let Ben Play.
Free Ben.
Yeah, Free Ben. That is really funny. And I think that those actors are really giving it their all there. And like they're really selling it in a fun way. But that's it. That's really the only thing that stands out to me as being like really good from the like extras and bit parts. Whereas in Strangelove, anyone who's on screen is capitalizing on that screen time. They're doing something that makes it like worth the camera being on them.
I have the exact same thing written down. Just in there is literally no small part in Strangelove. Like I get a flavor of whoever is on the screen. And yeah, no, I mean, Better Luck Tomorrow, not to a fault. I mean, that's what bit players are supposed to be, bits. You know, and I agree, the Free Ben stuff, but yeah, no, it's not even close.
Even, not even talking just extras, I think the supporting actors in Dr. Strangelove added more to the movie as a whole, too. Because I would argue John Cho was a supporting actor, and Stephanie, and I think those are the two main supporting actors. And they are exactly that, they're supporting actors. Like, they were there just to sort of drive the main character down the plot, and they did their job, but like I don't think they really stood out. But in Doctor Strange, though, the supporting actors would be like the people on the plane dropping the nuke, and Ripper, I would say, is a supporting actor, and those just like all elevated the movie in their own way, especially Ripper. Like, that guy had some of the funniest jokes, and obviously we remember the fluid stuff and just his exchanges with Mandrake.
Even Bat Guano. Like,
yeah,
that's
body humor done right.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I would honestly say that, like, it really does come down to just, like, yeah, the girlfriend and Better Luck Tomorrow is just, I feel like, the weakest performer in the cast.
I think I'd agree, and, yeah.
And it really, it's a real drag at times when you have really well-written scenes with her that that aren't, like, hitting, I think, as hard as they could or as well as they could. And that definitely takes it down for me in the supporting cast.
I'll push back on Alex, though. I think this one is tougher for me, like, to saying who's a better supporting cast, because John Cho gives one of my favorite performances.
He's so good in this.
he's so much fun. Like, the scene of him at the batting cages, and it's, again, it's just that circling around him, and he's just swinging, and he's just going on this insane tangent. And he turns around and he's like, what are you laughing at?
this isn't just a normal thing for someone to say. Why aren't you taking me seriously? Well, yeah, and I feel like John Cho alone would have sealed the deal if this was a different movie, if it was up against a different movie. But Strangelove is just full of actors who are really, really giving it their all. So the fact that John Cho is sharing space with I don't even remember her name. I had it pulled up. Let me pull it up. With Karen Chung, I think takes away from their ability to edge out Dr. Strangelove.
I think the Karen Chung, that's what girl who played Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a fine performance. I had no problems with her acting. I think she played like an innocent high school girl well, and like I bought it. I never saw like any cracks in the performance where I was like, oh, she's not like playing up to par with like Ben or John Cho or anything. I just don't think her character was all that interesting. Didn't really do much for the movie.
Yeah,
but with the main cast in Better Luck Tomorrow, I loved Virgil on this next viewing. I didn't like his character; he's a little shithead. But I loved the I don't remember the actor's name, but his acting in the performance. Virgil seemed the most realistic to me. He really blended into his character. All his like just existential crises about, is this really what I want to be doing? And then, yeah, it is, but also like, oh shit, I'm going to juvie, like I just want to stay in school, that kind of stuff. Man, he brought such emotion to it, and his like just quick transitions to two extremes of the spectrum I thought were so believable. Ben, honestly, I had less on this second viewing. He was just very, I think he played the part very safe, and again, on the first viewing, I was kind of swept up and like, oh, this is all cool and interesting and new for me. But on the second viewing, I expected more from Ben's character, from both the acting and just also the writing. I think he was a pretty safe main character to follow. And I'm not going to really rehash anything you all said about Dr. Strangelove. The main cast is amazing.
Any other thoughts?
I think we're all kind of in consensus on this one.
Well, then we can move on.
The acting as a whole, just Strangelove is going to win in that category.
Oh, without a doubt. So we can move on to what I think I have it sectioned off as direction
and cinematography.
Yeah, cinematography. Kind of
like the look and the feel, I'd say.
Yeah, the look and the feel of the film. You know, so like visual language of the film between Better Luck Tomorrow and Strangelove is, I think, once again, another interesting thing to look at considering the time periods that both were made in.
Definitely, yeah.
I personally connect more and follow more of what Lynn is doing here in Better Luck Tomorrow. I think that there's a lot that the visuals of this movie do to tell its story more so than Strangelove. Whereas to me, Strangelove is shot really well, but I don't like learn more about the characters by how the movie's filmed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like Strangelove in comparison to Citizen Kane. Citizen Kane used lighting and framing to tell the story, and Dr. Strangelove did all those parts pretty well, but I don't think it nearly to the degree of Citizen Kane. I don't think those aspects necessarily added to the filmmaking. It was more so like, let's make a pretty shot to frame the story. But yeah, Lin's direction was awesome. The quick cuts, the 360 freaking Matrix view. I loved all that. The hyper-saturated colors. And yeah, I really like the 90s feel of it. And it didn't feel unbearable to watch. It added to just like the erratic, cocaine-filled friggin' bender in the middle of the movie. And when things slowed down and became much more solemn, I liked the just how the camera told the story there.
Yeah.
No, this was one of the things I definitely picked up on a lot more this time around in Better Luck Tomorrow. I would say it's some of the best visual language I've seen in a movie. Like, I think you said it or something along these lines, Brennan, but like every single shot, I can feel the purpose of what I'm being shown. And then similarly in... Oh, what's up?
I was going to say, did you pick up on the cigarette flick scene from the introduction of Han this time?
I did.
Isn't
this
that just
time.
Slick as hell?
It's cool. Like, it is all just so meticulous and well put together. And I think, on the other hand, Strangelove just isn't a story that lends to that. Like, you don't... That's not the point of Strangelove. So in that case, it doesn't, like, outside of the B-52 stuff, not a lot of like outstanding visuals. And I'll say the any part when it's Jack Ripper and Mandrake in his office, I'm very bored by what I'm looking at for the most part.
It's a lot of gray.
A lot of gray, not a lot to catch your attention. Which, I mean, good to highlight those actors' performances, but at the same time, it's a pretty boring set.
I don't know. I really like the kind of visual language of Dr. Strangelove. I think you could take any still from this movie and know exactly what it's from. It's just like the war room, and I like Jack the Ripper's office. I think it's just all the small details and everything kind of make it really feel alive. I like the hotel room where Turgidson's kind of girlfriend or mistress or whatever is hanging out. The plane, everything is just
you
very...
only like the hotel room because there's a sexy lady in it.
Yeah.
And mirrors.
But just, I don't know, I feel like it's very well framed, blocked. It's done in a way that kind of lets the actors really bring to life their surroundings. Yeah, it's not as it definitely doesn't have as many edits as Better Luck Tomorrow. I don't know. Better Luck Tomorrow is definitely just like a product of its time. It feels like an early 2000s breakbeat snap editing thing, and it uses all of those tools really, really well. I guess that's my take. I really like, that's probably my favorite part of Better Luck Tomorrow, is just how it's shot and presented. There's a lot of really interesting ways that they go about telling that story. And I agree, Dr. Strangelove doesn't do nearly as much, but I don't think it needs to. And even that said, I think it's still a really gorgeous movie with a lot of really iconic imagery.
Absolutely. I think that like the war room specifically is,
oh my god,
I think that's very striking.
I think that my only problem with Strangelove as like a film up against something like Better Luck Tomorrow is that Strangelove, you could have put that up on stage. Like it definitely relies more on the performances than it does the sets. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think, its strength. Like the war room, looking as striking as it is in the movie that Strangelove is, I think makes it even more striking. But Better Luck Tomorrow, I think, really leans into the fact that it is a visual medium, and it's going to throw as many like insane or heightened qualities at you as it can, as it can justify.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me just makes it a much more engaging visual experience than Strangelove. Because Strangelove, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I would agree for sure.
You mute that movie or you flip through it like a PowerPoint slide. Yeah, maybe you'll know that every shot is from Strangelove, but I think that has more to do with the like costuming than it does the set design. Because like, yeah, you see Strangelove, you know that's Strangelove. I mean, you see Peter Sellers as Mandrake, and it's like pretty clear that that's that that it's from this movie. But I don't think there's anything in like the sets that that feel like they couldn't be in a different movie from the 60s.
To highlight a through line I'm kind of seeing, though, like, and I guess kind of jumping back to the cinematography versus the, I guess, visual language here, I think Strangelove's cinematography is hands down better. Like, it, there are a couple shots in here that are just gorgeous. Whereas,
kind of scary.
Like really scary, actually. And I mean, like, we already talked about it. Like, that first opening shot of the war room with the ring light above and you just everybody sitting at the table. I mean, that's fantastic. You had a question in here, Brendan. Is there a frame that you would want to frame as a piece of art from the movie? And I thought this independently when I was watching it this time. When you first see the cargo bay of the B-52, and it's just the two giant nukes that have hello there and Dear John written on them,
yeah.
That tells the story of the movie. I mean, just that one shot.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say that for sure. I definitely wouldn't want... I can't really think of it much from Better Luck Tomorrow, except maybe like... Maybe anything with Han I would probably put up on my wall just because I like Han, but...
The scene of Han beating the shit out of Virgil in
that's
like,
what I was going to really yeah.
bright, sunlit alley.
That part. Well, and also, like, the shot of Han holding up his, like, ID at the drugstore or whatever. I think that looks nice. I think, I don't know, Han leaning up against his car, I think, looks pretty nice. I think Han at the party cigarette. Looks pretty nice, I think.
There were definitely a couple that were definitely artistic. Like you said, Alex, just them in the sunlit handball court with him just beating him in the right third of the screen, just behind the fence and everything, super well blocked. And they keep the actors there the whole time. I thought that was great. And that's in motion, too. So that speaks to the quality of the filmmaking there. And then also, I really like the montage, for lack of better words, between him and what's her name, Stephanie, when they're on their date night.
Before
the dance, they're like sitting out on the dock and everything, and it's a nice sunset, and I don't know, that's probably my favorite sequence with her in it, is when they're together, just you kind of see stills of life. I think a lot of those are pretty effective, even if it's weird seeing a bar at a high school dance.
This is for punch only.
Was Better Luck Tomorrow Justin Lin's first main, like, big budget, quote unquote big budget movie?
I don't No, let me check.
Yeah, I don't know his other movies besides Fast and Furious.
But Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, definitely as a whole, to continue the kind of train of thought. Yeah, I think Strangelove visually looks a lot better, but I would say Better Luck Tomorrow is undoubtedly more interesting and stylized. So that's just going to be different strokes. I don't, not that I dislike it in Better Luck Tomorrow, but I don't need it. It doesn't add like a ton for me, but that is like the best flavor to me in that movie.
So Justin Lin's first feature film is something called Shopping for Fangs. It's an American Canadian black comedy with John Cho in it. I have never seen this movie. I am adding it to my watch list right now because
I was gonna say I
what?
Well, I was gonna say just the I think the editing and the quick pace of Better Luck Tomorrow helps to mask the low budget kind of indie feel of it, which I'm not saying that's a bad look to be low budget indie, but it makes it feel more produced and more I don't know, like just bigger, but it makes
the
budget
punching above
bigger.
Its weight.
Yeah and I thought that was clever use of all that. What are some of your, I think you already discussed some of your favorite Dr. Strangelove parts. I think we talked about both, but for me, on this second viewing, the one small scene that really just stood out to me where I was like, holy shit, that was so freaking clever, and I don't know why, is when they're robbing all the computer stuff from the school and Virgil just stays outside doing kickflips, keeping guard. And so just kind of him slowly just kind of like, you know, getting on a skateboard, riding around. And then he does like, he edits like six different failures of kickflips and he's on the ground and then they all walk out because like time has passed. Mm. I thought that was such a clever edit of like just passing time. I would have never thought to do something like that. And it's those quick things that just tell the story really quickly. Like you brought up Han at the gas station, no dialogue at all, shows a fake ID, flashes a couple hundreds, and then you move on. I love those moments.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of speaks to the direction as a whole. And this was something really interesting to me when I was sitting down and thinking about it. And I hear what I'm about to say, but I think Justin Lin out-directs Stanley Kubrick in this matchup.
I would actually probably agree.
I vehemently disagree, but
I disagree.
Kyle, I'm gonna follow you into these woods. Don't worry, you're not alone.
I think my take.
It's always nice to have my brethren with me.
My take from this is that the way Better Luck Tomorrow is presented makes up and adds a lot of personality that I'm missing from the rest of the story. And I think Strangelove, it only adds to what I'm already enjoying.
Yeah. To back Kyle up, though.
I don't want to.
The reason why I'm traveling with Kyle here is that, to me, I feel like Justin Lin, you know, I hear what you're saying about, like, you know, not enjoying the performances and things like that in Better Luck Tomorrow as much. And I've said as much comparing it to Dr. Strangelove. But Kubrick, I think, does a really good job directing the actors. And he gets actors who are already, like, really, really talented. Justin Lin does a lot with way less. And I think that's what makes it more impressive to me, is that he accounts for maybe the skill gap between his performers by doing something that is way more visually engaging, which is the thing that he can control completely.
And I'll follow on that. One of the things that I noticed this time on Better Luck Tomorrow that I just didn't on the first viewing is just how fucking old the actors are. Like, you mentioned it in the last one, Ryan.
I noticed that,
and you
too,
said there's no way no one was under 23. Do you guys know how old
that was,
all
a
the main
ball
actors are?
I mean, that was me being polite.
Yeah.
I think Ben was like 29. I think I looked it up. Ben
yeah
was like 29.
They're all 30. Every single one of them is 30 years old.
Yeah. No, Ben looked, and I'm saying disgusting as a high schooler, not as an insult to his looks, but I mean, it's a grotesque, old-looking high schooler.
But
it's scary.
But all that being said,
yeah.
And this is what I'm giving, like, the real testament to Lin. For the most part, I still didn't notice or forgot. Like, it's the ball is moving so constantly that it doesn't give me a moment to be like, wait a minute, that guy's 30.
Is Virgil like, 32?
And everybody is. Every single person is 30 years old.
Well, Virgil, I think, played it off.
Yeah. Damn, well, that's what I mean.
And
I,
costuming and just, like, again, like, just a cohesive package, to borrow a quote. Like, I think Lin had to do a lot more to make this good of a product.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting at, too. Like, I think that Kubrick walked up with a fantastic script and the most skilled actors you could get for this kind of movie, and then made a good movie. And shot it really well and had a lot of really great ideas for it. But Justin Lin walked up with way less, and I think I can punch with him, you know, and is punching at the same weight as Kubrick here. Like, I mean, Kubrick is ceding points to Justin Lin in this matchup, which yeah. I think.
Did Justin Lin edit Better Luck Tomorrow?
I don't know.
Because I'm more, I think I'm more in the camp of the movie saved by the edit than it's well directed. But if he edited it as well, then obviously that's kind of a moot point. But
yeah, then you'll have to agree that he's better than Kubrick.
I will not have to agree.
Oh, it was edited by him. He did edit it.
Well, that's still saved by the edit. That's not.
So what you're saying is that he's better than Kubrick because he both directed and edited and wrote the movie.
I think it definitely shows he has a talent and like a vision for what he wanted and was able to get the right performances. But something about how impeccable just and how natural all the Strangelove performances and scenes feel is, I guess, my basis. I don't
Sore loser Ryan over
just
here.
Just the fact that Strangelove is better than Better Luck Tomorrow, that's kind of my basis for why I think Kubrick's better.
I wanted to talk about the score and the soundtrack because I feel like this is something that that Better Luck Tomorrow, at least to me, loses completely. Like on score, soundtrack, sound design, sound mixing, all that stuff. I love a lot of the licensed tracks in Better Luck Tomorrow, but I think that without a doubt, Dr. Strangelove, the audio experience of that movie is 20 million times stronger.
That's exemplified by the part of Better Luck Tomorrow when they're digging in the ground for the dead body, and like you hear no sound of dirt or rust, you just hear like really cheap ADR, just like grunting, and and I'm like, this feels very weird. And that there's just moments like that throughout the movie, just weird ADR throughout. But yeah, no, Dr. Strangelove is exactly what you would want.
The titular example I'm going to provide is when General Turgidson is on the phone and he just smacks his belly.
Yeah.
Makes a big loud clap like right in the middle of his conversation. It's like, I don't know. Something about that is just so genius. It's such like a dad move to just slap your gut when you're
and it's
talking
so
about
loud.
Something serious. The music selections were all excellent as well.
Music selection, especially the end of Dr. Strangelove. Like, if you're only licensing like one like song with lyrics to it, like what a song to pick over what a montage.
Yeah,
that
final sequence is I don't know. It's like, it's kind of terrifying at the same time. It's really lovely.
Oh, absolutely.
The nukes and that song together are just kind of haunting. But
rewatching it, I went, fucking, why did anyone have a problem with the end of Metropolis? Fuck all of you.
I liked it.
I know. But, being in the B-52, like the audio, like all of the like background noise of the, like sort of like the plane sounds and like all the, it feels like you're in the fucking Enterprise when you're in that B-52, and I think that's perfect for the experience of it. And like the complete like almost deafening silence when they're in the war room where you can hear people like clicking their pins and like moving things around on the desk across the room. I think like the audio and Strangelove is, without a doubt, like streets ahead.
Yeah.
To use a great quote from Community, which I just finished rewatching, it's streets ahead.
Yeah. Were there, honestly, I can't really remember any of the music too much from Better Luck Tomorrow, but I feel like
I didn't like it.
I like the tone of it, like the kind of breakbeat. Like it's just so early 2000s.
Yeah, I love
that kinda, that kind of vibe I really click with. But yeah, I don't know.
to me, I love the music that they picked. I think it's all stuff that isn't like the most obvious choice
for
the scenes.
I appreciate that. At least,
which I appreciate because it keeps the rewatchability for a lot of that because it's not like annoying. Out of all the music they licensed for it, none of it is used as effectively as the one thing that they licensed for Strangelove. And maybe that means that they should have put a nuclear montage in the middle of Better Luck Tomorrow, but, you know, with breakbeat music, I don't know.
No, not even just the final song. Just like in 2001, where every time you hear dun, oh, yeah. dun, you think of that. For me, it's the dun, 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 dun,
yeah, the
dun,
dun. March.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Dude,
this movie.
I'm always going to think of this movie.
Let's get our cowboy hats and go to war. Yeah. No, I love
let's
all
go ride
scenes.
A nuke.
Because it's, I mean, this is unrelated to the score, but just the kind of blind obedience it's kind of criticizing there, just like the kind of silliness of how gung-ho those people are is, I don't know. I think that's a really fun sequence of the movie. Just anything with that is always just, like, hilarious to me. It's just, they're just American cowboys. They're just out there trying to bring it home for old glory, you know? I think that's really fun. Also noticed Darth Vader.
You're going to get medals. You're going to get medals regardless of your color, your creed, or your...
Yeah, it's just like they're in it for the right... Or with good intentions, I guess. Whether or not it's the right reason is debatable. But, like, yeah, no, they're just so gung-ho and into it. I think it's funny. And yeah, did you guys... I noticed this time James Earl Jones a lot more while he's reading off, like, a lot of the buttons and everything. It's like, yeah, that is straight-up Darth Vader. That's cool. Yeah. I thought that was fun.
Mm.
Yeah. No, I mean, Strangelove just feels very, very physical and tactile. Like you said, the clicking the pens, the reading off the protocol checklist on the B-52 bomber, and they're just flipping switches and pressing buttons and pulling levers. Everything just feels so clicky. And
yeah, they're
then
all,
in Better Luck Tomorrow, everything's all mushy and absent.
There were that is another thing. The satisfying scenes of them, like, zooming in on controls in the plane and, like, flipping the switches. I really liked that.
Yeah, it really gave me, like, Star Trek Next Generation stuff, where it's
felt
like
very tactile.
Ooh.
It was nice.
Ew, ooh. I could just watch a loop of these people fiddling with these knobs. Like, that's all I want. All right. I mean, does anyone have anything else to add on, like, cinematography or sound or anything like that?
No.
All right,
I don't think so.
I say we move on to special effects, which is the last section on here.
There was one thing I wanted to get. We missed one category that we've kind of talked about. Blocking and choreography. Strangelove's blocking is amazing.
Yeah,
it's outstanding. I mean, like, you brought up the scene exactly, Brendan, of when Turgidson rolls, pops back up, points at the board. They're gonna see the board. And, like, I mean, I can't think of anything even remotely that good in Better Luck Tomorrow.
I mean there's, it would just be the Han fight with Virgil. That's pretty much it.
Well, I would say that like some of the like the stuff at the towards the end where they kill what is John Cho's character's name in that movie?
That's a good question. I don't know why I can't remember.
Well, we had this problem last time.
Is it Steve?
Yeah.
It is Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they kill Steve? I think that the blocking and choreography of that is good.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah, like Strangelove, there's so many moments where there are people, like, moving around and doing things independent of each other in, like, a big room or a big set. Or, you know, in the case of the B-52, a really confined set that I find much more impressive, just having, like, all of these moving parts and spinning plates than Better Luck Tomorrow, where it is, like, you're only ever dealing with, like, three guys, maybe, who are having to do something, and then one guy who's standing still going, I don't know if I like this, guys. And, you know, it's like, that's just less impressive to me.
Yeah.
With Better Luck Tomorrow, though, like Alex said, that Han beating Virgil with a belt scene is great, and then, like you said, Brendan, that scene in the garage is super well framed. And this kind of goes into more what we're talking about earlier, but, like, just the spin as they're just kind of killing John Cho's character is just, I don't know, it's really twisted what they're doing there. And then they just kind of close it all off with that overhead shot of him bleeding out on the ground and them all standing around it. Super well framed. There's definitely like a handful of those sprinkled in throughout that I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But yeah, along those lines, though, it's like everything in Strangelove just looks pretty great.
But yeah, moving on to special effects, I would say personally, I think that the special effects in Strangelove are great, but man, that B-52 on like the eighth time I see it flying, it looks so bad.
It doesn't look real at all.
Whereas,
I
think it's fun.
It doesn't look real, but like I don't think it was supposed to.
Well,
yeah, I think it was purposely supposed to look campy and cheesy like that.
Well, sure, maybe. I just
because then
like,
you fast forward to the end of a cowboy riding a nuke down to the ground, and like they knew they couldn't pull that part off. So I think just that was part of
crazy.
The motif.
To me, that looked better than the B-52.
Yeah, me too.
100% it does. Yeah.
But what was I gonna say? Yeah, but to me, like Better Luck Tomorrow, there aren't any practical or even any like computer generated effects in that movie that I don't buy. Like everything in the movie looks pretty good. Like
yeah, I doubt there was
what?
CG.
No, I don't think there was.
What sort of CG was there?
None. I don't think so.
I mean, the budget was so low, I can't imagine there was.
At that time, yeah, it would have been like the worst looking Buzz Lightyear in the background, like doing like a Fortnite dance. That's probably all they could afford.
like the gif that Ryan just said.
Yeah. but yeah, for that reason, like I feel like inclined to give it to Better Luck Tomorrow because there's nothing, there are things that look bad and Strangelove, whether or not it's intentional or not, yeah. They look bad.
I would say
I'm
like
gonna give it to Strangelove. I like the B-52 flying sequences. I think
it's
hilarious.
Fun. Yeah, I think it's intentionally silly, especially with the Ants Go Marching song playing. Like,
well, it looks like a bad model of a B-52. Like it looks like, I don't know. It just looks bad. It looks all weird looking.
That and also the B-52 is so stationary and like tilts
yeah,
ever so slightly. Just the background is someone just shaking
the
camera around.
Is moving around the B-52 model instead of the B-52 moving at all.
yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's like that movie is.
It
so
looks
old.
Like a toy. It looks like a fucking toy that they
it is
buy.
A toy.
It is. It absolutely is a toy. Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
know.
It doesn't look like a model. It looks like a toy. no, but I mean the special effects in the movie are still great when they're not that. Like the brief little war stint that they have outside of Ripper's office looks very believable. And when the glass is blowing out, all the bullet holes in the office, everything looks great and super realistic.
They had that one little instance of slapstick as well when he shoots the Coke machine and it squirts out onto his face. Like I don't know. That is one thing. I don't know. All the other jokes felt pretty well made. I don't know, that seems like a Tom and Jerry kind of bit almost.
Yeah, I'll also
like Bumblebee popping a cap and peeing on that guy's face.
Oh,
well, so it's just it's so silly.
Yeah, but I mean it's a good effect though. I think it's funny, shoots the machine and it squirts out, but yeah, it is like oh.
Well, it squirts out like 20 seconds later.
Yeah.
and then he like looks at the camera, or I guess he looks at the other general, just kind of get annoyed. Like, yeah, it felt like the end of like there should be a laugh track there.
Yeah, well, yeah, he also doesn't get out of the way. He just sits there and he's like, "Ugh, Mondays, like, am I right, guys?"
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be honest. I mean, I agree with everything you guys are saying. It's kind of charming, though.
Yeah, it's kind of it's like absolutely this. Charming. I'm just saying, if I'm judging them like based on merit alone, I'm like, well, one, I wasn't going like, why is John Cho's vomiting ketchup over here, what's the deal? Like, no, it looked like blood.
No, both of these are very practical.
Oh, and even John Cho's dead zombie body at the end looked like a dead zombie body with nice little worms running through his fingers.
Yeah,
I think everything was as good as it could have been.
Hey, you know what? That's a good point. That is a great practical.
What about costumes?
Come on.
Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove is better.
I mean,
we need to talk about it.
That part at the end when he's just like slowly rolling backward in his wheelchair and having to like force himself back up and stopping himself from hiling is gold. It is so funny.
And I love the costuming for Strangelove specifically. Like the like circle sunglasses that he has on and his fucking crazy wig hair that he has.
It's
chaotic. Does he only have a glove on his Hitler hand?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's great too.
And the Russian ambassador has just that big fur, and the guy with the cowboy hat and the bomber, like just all these characters. The mustache on, why do I keep forgetting his name?
Mandrake. Yeah.
Yeah. I pretty hands down the strength. Well, there's just so much personality there.
I do also think that it is like there are like clear visual differences between Mandrake's uniform and everyone else's, which I think is fun.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense then. I mean, obviously there are differences between what an RAF uniform and a U.S. military uniform, I would imagine. Yeah. But it, like, I don't know, at least for me, someone who isn't familiar with the differences off the top of my head, it feels noticeable enough, even in black.
It's
and
kind
white.
Of sharper.
Yeah,
like it's a lot more. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more angled than like
and,
the
yeah. And so, like, I don't doubt ever when someone walks into the room and they like, or Bat Guano walks in the room and is like, "Who are you? what are you wearing? Like, why? Who are you? What are you wearing? Why are you here?
Yeah,
what is this?" And like the confusion that he kind of brings certain people. I'm like, oh yeah, no, I like this feels like a complete someone from a different place. So yeah, I would say costuming without a doubt, makeup. Yeah. Probably for Strangelove as well, but like you said, you know, they tried their best to make these people look less like they're 30.
It's just seeing Ben's mustache constantly trying to grow out and knowing he had to shave that thing the morning before every shoot.
He probably shaved it like the second before filming so that there wouldn't be any stubble yeah. whatsoever.
That's always stood out to me.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that it was smart to put them in like baggy clothes. And like
yeah,
stuff like that, but I, to me, it's like it never felt like anything that impressive. It always felt like, yeah, what? How would you hide that they're very old?
Yeah,
dress them like Adam Sandler.
Oh man, I like Adam Sandler.
Anyway, I do too.
I think
he dresses like a child. Like Adam Sandler.
No, I'm just noting. I think it's funny. He wears big T-shirts and gym shorts.
Down to his ankles.
Yeah, very down to earth kind of guy. It seems like it's cool.
Yeah,
friend of the podcast.
I think the only noteworthy costume for me in Better Luck Tomorrow is honestly just Han and his car. I think that's really the only thing we can even talk about.
Yeah,
like, you know, cheap prom dresses, cheap suit for prom or the winter formal, whatever that was. No one really had a distinct style besides Han.
Clearance rack at the JCPenney's, that kind of look.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the end of my list of things, though. I mean, do we have any other thoughts about these movies?
I think that's pretty.
I think we really did it.
I
think that was a success.
Yeah, maybe.
Do we each talk about rewatchability and what we got out of the first watch versus the second watch?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, we started off with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a good format. We go through that kind of list of just kind of objective comparisons that any movie would have, and then maybe we all close out with one last note or something like that.
Final thoughts.
Feel.
We got final thoughts again.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe for final thoughts, we just give our final.
Yeah, like our final.
Our final argument.
Our final thoughts.
Yeah. Like why we want a certain thing, or I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
We just kind of finalize everything we've been talking about and everything we've been thinking about.
Everything we've been thotting about. So I'll start off my final thoughts. You know, I think coming into this discussion, I was kind of up in the air which one I was going. I was leaning towards, because I mean, I didn't put Better Luck Tomorrow that high up in my list. I love that movie, but it's you know, immediately it wasn't like top five movies. You know, that I've seen. And Strangelove wasn't on my list at all, but that's a very good movie. So it was a little bit like, you know, I don't know which way to go, but definitely talking about Better Luck Tomorrow and talking about all the strengths of it, especially Justin Lin's skill that he kind of puts on display in this movie. It has made me want to go back and watch it again. Whereas everything that we've talked about with Strangelove has been good, and I've enjoyed talking about it again, but I'm like, yeah, no, I think I'm good. I think I'm good for another like year at least on Strangelove. You know, so I still like the performances and Better Luck Tomorrow. I still like the music. I still like all of the things that make Better Luck Tomorrow what it is. And you know, I think that because of that, it will always be able to edge out something a little bit more competent but less just stylish.
Yeah.
So do we want to also just murder vote in?
This kind of does feel like the logical point for voting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add your vote to the end of your final thoughts. I think that was one of the things I want to talk about on Act One of Kino Clash is that I feel like we just kind of rehashed everything when we voted that we said in our final thoughts. I feel like we just merged them together.
Well, the final thoughts.
And I disagree with that.
I think it flows better to put them together instead of
now it final does, thoughts, final but thoughts, the point of final voting. Thoughts last time was because we did final thoughts for each movie and then voting was the comparison.
Yeah.
Now we're doing comparisons.
Well, and the final thoughts helped us in the long run on in Act One because we would sometimes record each movie discussion weeks apart.
Yeah.
No, what I mean is,
I'll be honest
on the second
you,
movie's final thoughts to add our votes at the end of that instead of going 1, 2, 3, 4 and then back to 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's fair. We once we get back to Act One of Season Two, we'll probably have this conversation again.
Okay.
This is gonna be a minute.
Season
Two, Act One, Scene Five.
Hold on. And my that makes my vote definitely gonna be Better Luck Tomorrow.
And yeah, comparing these two, me personally, I don't really connect with Better Luck Tomorrow that much. There's no point in the movie where it's really got me.
You were gonna just end it there. There's no point in this movie.
Oh no. No, there are definitely things I like about it, but at no point am I really
points in the movie.
I'm never really captivated by what's going on screen until maybe like the end. But yeah, I don't know. None of the characters really do it for me. I find it a little distracting, a little silly. The writing doesn't really speak to me that much, whereas Strangelove is one I put... Yeah, this is a 12 versus 13 match, so this is not one that's high on my list either, but both times we've watched it now, I've appreciated it far more than when I made this list, so it's one that grows on me. I find it very funny, super nice to look at, and it's just always a good experience. Definitely one that'll have in my more frequent rotation from now on. I've just grown to appreciate it a lot more. Like I said, going into this, I wasn't super looking forward to watching it again. I thought, I just saw this. I'm probably going to be bored. I was not. I was just as engaged this time as I have every other time watching it. So for that reason, it's got to be my vote. I'm going to be voting for Dr. Strangelove.
I'll be voting for Strangelove. I kind of didn't bury
no
the lead in the beginning.
Here.
I'll say the thing that turned me off on Better Luck Tomorrow this time around, as opposed to the last, was it was a lot darker this time. Like the first time I was laughing, I was like, "Ah, this is fun," and then it was like, "Oh." But this time, knowing what it was leading up to, it was very dark. I had like, and it was uncomfortable. I was really uncomfortable at times, just like, ugh. Strangelove, not so much. I think that's one of the most quotable movies I've ever watched. And wow. Most definitely.
That's high praise from you.
I know. For someone who loves quippy dialogue, I mean that's up there. I got a lot more appreciation out of it. Like I was hooting and hollering. It was fantastic. So, I mean that on top of just kind of being a better movie. It might be one of my favorites now. It might be in that top.
Aww.
Maybe not top 16, but certainly on the list.
I'm glad you know, Kyle. I'll let you say all of that mean stuff because you did say that Justin Lin was a better director than earlier on in this discussion.
I didn't even say anything mean. I said it just. No, I got a different effect out of it. But yes, I will still hold. If you're comparing directing ability, I think Lin outdirects Kubrick on this one.
Kyle, has your dad seen Strangelove?
Oh, it's in his top 5.
Okay. I was going to say this has to be.
You know, Kyle, with the way your dad is, I never, like, this is a movie where it's like, would he like it or would he hate it? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. No,
that's actually true. B-52 does not look like that when it's in the air. That's just.
they wouldn't be able to do that.
All right, Allie.
My thoughtsies, Allie. Thank you, Ryan. Like I said at the beginning, Dr. Strangelove went down a slight peg for me on the rewatch just because a lot of the humor and fun of it wasn't there the second time. So probably, if this movie wins, Strangelove, I mean, I hope that the third time we watch it, there's more time in between so I can get that sort of magic back. And Better Luck Tomorrow, I think, kind of stayed the same for me. I liked still everything I liked the first time. But just all in all, Strangelove is the better movie. The only thing in my mind that Strangelove doesn't have against Better Luck Tomorrow is just the visual storytelling didn't serve the story as much as Better Luck Tomorrow. But I don't think that's as bad of a thing as we made it out to be, because Better Luck Tomorrow just had weaker parts that needed to be elevated by the visual aspect of it, versus Strangelove did everything else so well that it didn't require the super in-your-face directing, blocking, framing. Everything just kind of worked together much nicer. And all in all, Dr. Strangelove, I think, is better. And I think a little more rewatchable for me as well. So my vote is for Strangey Boy.
I do just want to clarify this again. For anybody listening, we're not voting on what's better.
Yes, so, but Alex, I enjoy Strangelove more.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I zoned out a little bit. I don't want us to have another Lost City of Z.
Kyle, there's a camera pointed at your face. We could very much tell when you were more concerned with the butterflies flittering around your head.
The furled eyebrow. He's like, he voted for Strangelove.
I was not expecting that. Alex,
I respect the suspense building move of saying if it wins, even though the only way it wouldn't have is if you voted for something else.
No, you could have voted for Better Luck Tomorrow, wouldn't have won.
Well, we don't know. We'd have to pull all the numbers.
Let's be real.
Yeah, we know.
You guys are mean.
Wouldn't that be not crazy me, just if Kubrick gets all the praise. Actually worked out, like.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
That would be surprising. Yeah.
What were the three sources you wanted? IMDb, Letterboxd, and what else?
Metacritic. Metacritic. Yeah.
Metacritic.
Yeah. IMDb, Metacritic, Letterboxd.
All right. IMDb 8.4.
Yeah. Well, that's it then. That's the first round.
That's
32.
That's our first.
Ticked off.
Oh my god, that means we get to roll them bones again.
Yeah, I
was missing that.
Rolling bones is so much fun. Alex, you can keep looking at that stuff. Just interrupt me whenever you've got
Are you guys even interested? It's not that important.
I'm a little interested. I mean, only interrupt us if there is like if it's close or something. You know, if it's obviously a loser.
Pen color for this round.
What's a gambling game with dice? Would that be like craps?
Yeah.
Yeah, craps.
We should go to Vegas.
Set up a Kino Clash booth out on the plaza.
Yeah, just play craps. I guess we could just shoot dice like Chris Evans.
Oof.
Yeah.
It's not close.
Oh, are we averaging or are we just doing 2 out of 3? Oh, I guess there's a chance that there could be a tie, so we are averaging.
Yeah, we would have to average it. That's not even close.
It's not close.
What is it?
Yeah, I'm not curious now.
You want me to give you each? Here, IMDb for both.
Sure, yeah.
We have Dr. Strangelove 8.4, Better Luck Tomorrow 7. Metacritic 97 for Dr. Strangelove. 67 for Metacritic.
That kills the average right there.
Yeah. I haven't even looked at Letterboxd, but
Yeah, I don't think Letterboxd is going to work out in my favor either. That's a bunch of that's those filmy people there. They're going to like the Strangelove a lot more.
4.2 for Strangelove.
I think it's 3 something.
3.6. Oh. So yeah. Sorry, Brendo.
But, damn.
Alright.
Damn.
Well, anyway, yeah.
Are we ready to roll them bones?
Yeah, we're rolling it. It's 1 to 15 die roll now. We got 4. So near the top of the bracket.
Is this push again?
I am getting Alien Good Time.
Yeah. So a Ryan guy double feature. Alien.
Fuck you.
I watched Alien like 2 days ago. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, I guess you're good for it then. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this one. I was hoping this one would get pushed back a little while.
Yeah, these are movies we haven't watched in a long time, but they're not like fun movies to watch.
I mean, not that I'm not looking forward to watching them. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, my life's a little stressful right now. I don't need extra. I don't need to be putting things on top of it.
Well, Brendan, imagine having to behead your own child, because that's basically what I'm doing here.
No, this is Sophie's choice. This is literally you're choosing which child.
Except the awkward part is he's already ranked the children.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm definitely gonna judge it after this watch, because like even thinking about it, that's mainly why I didn't want to do this matchup. Is like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling I know how it's gonna go, but I think you all do too. But like, yeah, I don't know. I like both of these movies quite a bit, but it's I don't know.
We probably need to like do a group meditation session before we get into Alien, because I just feel like everybody, no one in particular, we all need to have a cool head before we go into Alien.
No, I'm gonna watch that movie again, even though I just rewatched it, just to find something else that would really piss Ryan off.
Well, we all know that they're scientists this time. what else was there?
What kind of a name is Nostromo? Let's be real.
Yeah, what is that even referring to?
It's kind of sus. It's kind of sus, if I'm being honest.
Hey guys, you guys think about how like this movie's basically just Among Us? Ryan, what do you think about that? Would you like it if I led the discussion with that, or would you not?
You say would I like it? I would love it, Brendan.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
It's Among Us. It's Among Us.
Yeah. All right, well, that does it for the first round of 32 now. This is episode 33 of the regular series, so that does it for episode 33.
Or act 2.
Yeah.
Scene one.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I like that.
I hope you all
can't
enjoy
wait for the
Kino Clash
can't
act
wait for the Broadway
scene.
Presentation of Kino Clash, yeah. Where they just play all these.
It's just a radio in the center of the stage.
Yeah. One of these days, Kino Clash will be an exhibit that people can visit and experience in real time forever.
Kino It'll Clash be in that that Catholic museum in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It'll be all our files.
Yeah.
I think this is it's because this is the best example of Catholic art that you can really.
Stained glass, lame. Kino Clash, epic.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, thanks. Shit, we should make a stained glass window of the logo.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be kind of sick. That'd be pretty cool.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. We'll get back to you next time with Alien versus Good Time. Bye-bye.
Not Predator.